are.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. We're doing well, staying safe. I'm your host for this Friday evening, Patricio Roballo. We have a packed show for you tonight, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll have another edition of Catskill Talks, the final one for this season, featuring Hesenia Brodia. We'll learn more about her painting journey and her journey through recovery and how it has only helped her, but it also has helped others. And also, we'll check in with Chris Rowley from the Schwankuk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ulster County and Ellenville. But first, we have an update on the New York prison strike. A tentative agreement has been reached to end the New York State prison strike that impacted nearly 30 facilities, including Woodburn Correctional Facility right here in Sullivan County. The deal comes after 4 days of mediation and addresses key concerns from correctional officers, but lingering issues including health risks for staff remain. The agreement formalized in a consent order includes a 90-day suspension of certain provisions in the HALT Act, legislation that limits solitary confinement. Correctional officers argue that these restrictions contributed to the increase in violence and safety risks in an already understaffed prisons. Additionally, a circuit breaker staffing metric will be introduced on high impact days, such as weekends. This system will address staff shortages and allow for temporary program suspensions if safety is compromised. State officials say the agreement will be enforced as a court order, making noncompliance legally actionable. Governor Kathy Hochul, who deployed the National Guard during the strike, confirmed there will be no departmental discipline for officers who return to work by Saturday. The deal also includes overtime pay increases and allows for temporary hiring of retired correction officers. While this agreement is seen as a step towards a resolution, Assemblymember Paula Kay of the 100th District warns that serious health concerns at the Woodburn Correctional Facility remain unaddressed.
There are still no answers to the exposures that are happening at Woodburn. I have been stonewalled to date as to answers from docs as to what they're going to do to take care of the corrections officers who are coming out on stretchers. They are vomiting. They are passed out. Their blood pressure is through the roof. And not only the corrections officers, but last weekend there were two National Guards members who also went out on stretchers. Our ambulances are stretched too thin to handle this. There are incarcerated persons, obviously, who are also going through this, but they're treated in the jail.
Kay believes that these symptoms are linked to a synthetic drug smuggled into the prison through the legal mail, specifically letters sent to attorneys, which staff are not allowed to open.
We've asked them to stop for a period of time what's coming into Woodburn so that we can get a handle on this, and so that everybody can be safe.
She also criticized the Department of Corrections for extreme staffing policies, stating that the officers on family medical leave or recovering from surgery have been forced back to work, and those deemed absent without leave had their benefits revoked.
This isn't how New York State should treat anybody in this state. And I just also want to emphasize, when the staff and the corrections officers aren't treated well and they're not safe and they don't feel safe in our facilities, then nobody's safe in our facilities. And we have to give all people in the state of New York deserve the same degree of respect and deserve the right to go home to their families every night without fear of something happening to them during the day that could possibly take their life.
For now, negotiations between state and correctional officers continue, and while the strike may be ending, the battle over prison safety, staffing, and health concern is far from over. We have more for you on that story on our website at wjffradio.org. So let's get back to our regular program on a Friday. We have Chris Rowley on the phone with us now, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville, Ulster County. Chris, one story you have for us is about a Walgreens that's closing in your neck of the woods. Just let us know what's going to the effects that could have on folks locally.
needs to get out there as soon as possible. Obviously, the strike is still going on. As of last night, this morning, officers have been called back to work. No matter what excuse, family medical leave, not an excuse. A officer who just had knee surgery, not an excuse. You either come back or you're considered AWOL. They've been told their dental and eye insurance has been cut off. Vision insurance has been cut off. This isn't how we treat.
I spoke to one inmate who was saying that it's possible that it's a synthetic marijuana or something coming in.
It's a synthetic. So this is what we think it is, but until they agree to keep testing, they've tested it. My understanding is it's been tested for opioids and fentanyl, and it's not. Okay, great. There are millions of other things that could be tested. Bug killer, weed killer, that's what we think is being mixed in here. They're lacing the mail with this material, and then the incarcerated are smoking it. It's causing fumes. Mm-hmm. And then the staff, the COs are walking by, the National Guard is walking by, they get the fumes and they pass out.
Do you know, I know that in the union negotiations, they didn't mention anything specifically related to what's been going on at Woodburn with the suspected. Is that, do you know if there's any conversations specifically to Woodburn and the union about measures, like you're talking about asking them to stop certain mail until there's a handle on the situation or test for more than just...
I have specifically asked the governor's office to do that. I know that there are discussions between the commissioner and retired members who have specifically asked for that.
Yeah.
I do not understand what it will take for the Department of Corrections to treat the people who are our families, our friends, our soccer coaches, and a lot of times our fire department officials, our EMS drivers or paramedics who also work in the jail. Why aren't we treating them with the same respect as everybody else? So,
was there any follow-up as to when you asked and made these requests, if there would be a response or what information you were given after you pushed these different issues?
I was told there would be a response. Today's Thursday. I get confused with Albany. Today is Thursday. I'm waiting. I've been told I'll be getting a response later today. Okay. And I certainly hope that response is we are doing everything we can to get to the bottom of what's going on at Woodburn so that everybody at Woodburn can be safe.
And you're asking this to the governor's office or?
The governor's office, the Department of Corrections. Yeah.
But what did you say to one incarcerated person I spoke to saying that now he felt the jail was better because the National Guard was there and he's being treated humanely now? He said in the past he was treated inhumanely, not receiving health care, not receiving, getting beat up for no reason, things like that. This is what thing he's saying. I'm not saying that this was happening, but is there anything to rectify that also?
So everyone should be treated properly in jail. No one should be beaten up. There shouldn't be hands on anybody. But what my understanding is, right now we have a lot of young kids in there as National Guards members who are not trained to handle emergent circumstances. And as long as things remain calm, everyone will be safe, but they're not trained. And I'm getting calls from the parents of the National Guard who are in the jail asking me, how do I get my kid out of the jail? We know it's not safe. Most of the people in our jails just want to do their time and go home. But there are one or two people who like to make trouble. And my understanding is that there have been quite a bit of incarcerated on incarcerated actions. And you really need trained, dedicated staff who know how to handle the situation, to handle that kind of situation. There have been more and more of those situations in Woodburn over the past several months than there ever have been. Part of that has to do with when Sullivan was closed. Sullivan was a max facility, and Burn is not. And that population was moved over to Woodburn.
Yes, some of them. Some of them are.
And we go from maximum to medium. That's right. It is Woodburn. I guess Woodburn had to have some kind of facilities to house the prisoners who are serving in maximum sentence, right? Okay.
Yeah. We need the trained corrections officers to go back to work and do their job. But we also really need the governor's office and docs to figure out a way to recruit and train corrections officers. There needs to be, it's a very hard job. It's a job most people don't want to do. And it actually is a generational job, which isn't happening anymore. And it's probably not happening anymore because sons, uncles, fathers used to say, come work in the jail. This is a great job and you get great benefits. And then you work from this time to this time. Now, family members are saying, don't come work. It's not a good job. It's very dangerous. The benefits aren't as good as they used to be. And we never get to go home to see our families. Everyone deserves to go home to see their families.
I'm hearing like 24 hours, 36 hours sleeping in the gym, things like that.
Yeah, and then they get mandated back. That's not safe for anybody. If drivers of a CDL are told, I think it's 10 hours, and then they have to take a break. Now we're telling people who have to have eyes on everybody in order to keep everybody safe that they're going to be there 24 hours and then go back in. And not only that, while they're there, they have absolutely no contact with the outside world. None. They're completely cut off from their families and friends.
That's tough, especially if you have a family, wife, kids, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. Yep.
Let us know if they get back to you at the end of today or what the kind of communications continue as based on those issues that you were asking them to mm-hmm. follow up about.
Yep.
I think especially just because the exposures are, I haven't heard them at as high a level being reported at the other person striking. I think that's like an important.
It was, and it was well before the strike started.
Yeah.
And kind of, I think for Woodburn, the last straw.
Yeah, that's what folks said to me when they were out. That was what made them all decide to join mm-hmm. the strikes. So, yeah. Well, thank you for the update.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you awesome. Both, and thank you for covering this.
But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition, and every Friday we talk to the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shawanka Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellaville and Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the program. The big story we have for you today is a closing of a Walgreens in your neck of the woods and what that would mean for folks there who need to get their medicines.
Yeah, the Walgreens is being shuttered on Beach Street North in Ellenville. It's a bit of a blow to the community. Of course, there's still Matthews Pharmacy, which is a long-standing local firm on Canal Street, and there's a pharmacy at the Walmart. Pharmaceutical services will continue, but as the people at Matthews made clear to me when I was talking to them earlier this week, the three pharmacies all work together. It was like if somebody was running out of some obscure drug, they'd call the Walmart and then they'd call Walgreens and they'd find it somewhere and they would get it. So it's they're losing one leg of a tripod that had been very useful on the pharmacy side. However, of course, for business, for Matthews, this will probably be a pretty strong shot in the arm. That's an interesting business, Matthews Pharmacy. I researched it a little bit and read an article and did interviews with the principals there. And the business itself began in 1858. That's before the Civil War. That's pretty old for a little business. And, of course, it wasn't anybody called Matthews back then. It didn't turn into Matthews. It became Matthews Drugstore in 1949 when Clyde Matthews, the first of the Matthews, bought out Gomer Rippert. And that became Matthews Drugstore, which is an interesting concept, too. Yeah. Anyway, so They've been a fixture in the village. They have been there ever since. They've been through the boom period of the 50s and 60s and then the long, slow decline. And they're still there as things begin to pick up again. Walgreens and ShopRite beside the point in a way, really. But and the Matthews family have been a real fixture in the village. Ray Matthews, who died a few years ago, tragically, he was a long-time presence on the Ellenville Central School District School Board, and his wife Eileen, who's recently retired, she's even more kind of Ellenville royalty in a sense, in that she came out of the family, the Alberts Bakery family, which is a bakery that long shut down a long time ago, but it was on Canal Street too. So one way or the other, that lady's life has been largely lived out on Canal Street, Ellenville. That's very local. The pharmacists at Matthews are a good crew. Laura Villegas is an Ellenville native. Paul Summer is a Rondout Valley kid. He's a gander. He went to that school. And his father, Mike Summer, was the assessor for Wawarsing for years. I used to talk to Mike every so often, especially back around the time of the great reval in 2016. Anyway, Matthews will expect a boost to their business. The funny thing was, while they're celebrating that, they were kind of a little mournful about the loss of the Walgreens, which is not the usual way it goes, but that's it. But the biggest issue for them, and everyone needs to take note of this, in terms of the high prices for certain pharmaceutical drugs and things that happen with the price of insulin, is the pharmacy benefit managers thing, which is it's another kind of oligarchic monopoly set up. There are three companies, Optum Rx, Express Scripts, and Caremark Rx, that share about 80% of that market. And they sit between the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies and the pharmacies and the customers. And they extract rent. They pile on costs, and they just charge more to the pharmacies, especially the independent pharmacies that don't have massive legal departments. They pile on the cost to them. And Paul Summer described it this way: we have to buy high-priced medications. They might cost $1,000, but we will only be reimbursed $900 by the PBM. Now, that doesn't work. If they're going to just take 10% out of you every time you have to deal with this kind of drug, then either you have to tell the patient, the customer, sorry, we can't do that drug. It just costs us too much. You'll have to go somewhere else where they won't charge us that much, where it won't be charged that much, or the pharmacy has to eat it. And this is the sort of thing that is just really enraging. Anyway, that's the story. I don't know if the new administration in Washington will pay any attention to this sort of thing at all. I don't think it's what they care about, but we'll see. So there's that story. But Matthews will be carrying on, and we expect that they'll be in business. And one good thing about Matthews is they have incredibly convenient parking. If that's an issue for you and you have to drive in to get a prescription filled, It's easier to do it at Matthews. Actually, it's easier to do it there than it is at Walmart, because at Walmart, you're going to have to walk a long way.
Yeah.
The park. Matthews, the parking is right next door. It's 10 feet away.
Thank you, Chris, for that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Local Edition. It's Friday on the Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Stay tuned. We have Casket Toss coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Sing around the color, and I don't need a microphone. You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Essentially, Trump has separated out Russia and Ukraine from one another as he is saying that he is trying to negotiate a peace deal. He's got Russia at one table with the U.S. He's got Ukraine at another table with the U.S. Ukraine basically has no cards to play.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, our guest is Jeffrey Toobin, legal commentator at CNN and author of articles and books on some of the most famous legal cases in recent history. His new book examines the history of presidential pardons and their impact today. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Well, Catskill Talks is back, and this is our final installment for this whole series. Pretty soon, this will be a website, and you can visit on our website, wjffradio.org, and you can see all the Catskill Talks right there on the interwebs. The next Catskill Talks is featuring Ksenia Brody. She's a passionate artist who expresses her journey of recovery through oil and acrylic painting. Brody blends the art with personal transformation, using her creative process as a means for healing and storytelling. So through this conversation, I delve into the why behind her work, exploring how she integrates emotion, experience, and artistic expression to inspire others. Again, this project is made possible with funds from the Statewide Community Regrant Program, a program of the New York State Council of the Arts, with the support of the Office of the Governor and the New York State Legislature, administrated by the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, and was filmed with by Cypy Studios. But when I say filmed, meaning there is a video component to this. Tonight at 8 o'clock on YouTube, we'll have the premiere of the latest Catskill Talk, so check it out. Check out our Facebook page. There's an event page there that will link you to the YouTube page where you can see this at 8 o'clock. So without further ado, here is Ksenia Brody. I went to visit her at her home and her home studio.
I got something like this, and my friend Mitch came over and pulled it, got it for me, but it pushes 300 pounds.
Wow.
So you feel this.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's built up paint.
Just built up this. Where the heck is it? Okay, it's this.
Okay.
And so,
molding paste.
Yes, molding paste. So what I'm going to do with that other canvas is I'm going to take this molding paste, make two angel wings. And I don't know what I want to do in there, but I want the angel wings to come out like this here. And all you see is the wings and the silhouette of a person. And I think that person will definitely be out of space. Mm. So this is...
Are you doing this in acrylic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, this here is metallic.
Because it almost seems like, you know, back in the day when they used to do oil paint, it would just build up. But
yeah, this is metallic paint. You see this here?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back over with the metallic paint because I kept dreaming about this freaking thing and for like 2 years. And one time I just got up and I drew it on my table right there. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to paint this one day. And last week was the day, so... I don't know if this is going to be a baby. I don't know what this is going to be yet, but this is definitely happening.
This is what you're working on now?
Yes. This is a picture I was working on in another medium in oil, and it wasn't working. It just wasn't working. And I asked the guy here, Shelton, could I try it in acrylic? And voila.
Okay.
Acrylic.
What was the difficulty in working in oil?
I don't know, but this picture and this other picture I was working on, a dog, his name was Lucky.
Yeah.
I could not get this dog in oil. And the more layers I put on, the harder it was.
Yeah.
So I had to look at it and say, okay, this is not working. Let's talk to him, see if we can get a different picture. Let me try it in acrylic. And it worked.
Yeah.
So, thank God. Yeah. So I'm still working. I got to do the shoulders. And, you know, it's not done, but I captured them. And once I captured the eyes,
yeah,
it's a done deal. So.
So that's the secret for doing like portraiture is the eyes?
Is the eyes and the spacing. And even the ears still, the spacing and shoulders are too big. Yeah. This is too big. So I got to, you know, chop. I just chop, chop, chop. And when I am done with this, I'm going to show in the beginning how it looked.
Yeah.
Because they never look like this. They look like some other people. So it always happens like that, though, when I do portraits or dogs.
Do you draw it out first? Or mm-hmm. you, okay.
Yeah.
So portrait is not only the thing you do. And one of the things I notice is always is when I see you work online on Facebook is your abstract work. That's something I really am interested in. And you have some of it here.
I have some here, and I'll explain the ones on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So since you do an acrylic and oil, so you do both mediums.
Both mediums. Yeah. So this is, it's I don't know what it's called, birthing the universe, but it's a woman, and she's birthing a child. It's down here. Okay. So it's going to be in space, like, right. You know, at a universal. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's about, you know, giving birth to life. And we are not just it. There's a lot of life going on.
So this particular painting, let's talk about what was sort of the inspiration. It's almost like a cliche that you say, you know, where's the inspiration come from? But if you want to walk us through this one, like.
This came from the fact that our laws are changing about women able to have abortions. And, you know, I disagree with that coming from, oh, you can't, da 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 da. And I don't agree with it. You know, how can you tell a woman what to do with her body?
Yeah.
That would, you know, that's ridiculous. So I don't speak a lot of how I feel, but I paint it because that's how I express my dismay. So, that was this, the universe giving birth. And, you know, it's going to be a space picture. It's going to be a lot, but the inspiration for this was, you know, we should be allowed to choose what in decisions we make with our bodies.
Now, when this idea came to you and say, this is something I want to, you know, paint and want to do, do you draw it out? Or are you picking the calves directly and just going at it? Or
I have to research babies, that what they look like in the womb. And when I get a good picture of what I'm looking for, then I can paint, you know, and then I look at the breast and I look at other clouds, other universe, you know, the telescope stuff. And that's how I learn. And then I go to YouTube and learn how to paint the universe.
Right.
And the universe is so vast. And that's how I learn.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you to my first guest, as always, Chris Rowley from the Schoenkopf Journal. And again, the latest Catskill Talks, you will hear more of this edition of the Catskill Talks. Visit our YouTube page at 8 o'clock tonight to see the premiere of the latest Catskill Talks video. Stay safe, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay safe. Take care of yourself. And I'll talk to you soon.